WNYC is supported by the St. Cecilia Chorus and Orchestra, performing the Baroque masterpiece Bach's Mass in B Minor with Patrick Gardner, guest conductor, on Saturday, May 8th at 8 p.m. at Carnegie Hall. Tickets and information at carnegiehall.org or Carnegie Charge 212-247-7800.
Hi, this is Leonard Lopate. You're listening to WNYC On Demand. Podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads available when you want to listen at WNYC.org and iTunes.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Bonobos may share 98.7% of our DNA, but we still know little about them. The species rarely appears in biology textbooks, and bonobo isn't even recognized as a word by Microsoft Spellcheck. But bonobos, as much as chimpanzees, may be able to shed key insights into essential aspects of human behavior. Research scientist Vanessa Woods traveled to Congo to live among bonobos in 2005. Her new book, Bonobo Handshake, tells the story of what she witnessed there, and it is published by Gotham Books. I'm very pleased that it brings Vanessa Woods to our show today. Hello.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You write in your book that you were once a chimp girl. What made you choose the bonobo as your main interest in the end?
Well, like a lot of people, I was just fascinated with chimpanzees. They really represent the light and the dark side of humans, I think. And so when I met bonobos, I just thought they were so weird. There's all the sex and, they're so juvenilized and they're just so different to chimpanzees. But then when I got to know them, I realized that bonobos are, I guess, the representations of what humans could be if we pushed a little harder.
They really are that good?
Yes, they're amazing. Whoa. I think bonobos are going to save the world.
Well, if I were to see just a bonobo and not a chimp next to it, would I even know the difference?
No, and it's not really the physical appearance of bonobos that's important, because they do look very similar to chimpanzees. It's really their psychology and how they live in their social world and how they think about things. I think that's really special.
Well, we have seen from Jane Goodall's research and other people's research that different chimpanzee groups actually act differently and have different sometimes even develop different cultures. Could bonobos, is this a genetic thing that distinguishes them from chimps and from other primates, or is this something that may have developed culturally a long time ago?
So that's a great question. And I would say that it's never nature versus nurture. I think it's always a little bit of both. So what we do see in chimpanzees that's very different from bonobos is that lethal aggression, so murder basically, has been seen in every chimpanzee field site across Africa. And it has never been seen in bonobos. So this is one of the really extraordinary things is about bonobos is that unlike chimpanzees and humans, they're still our closest living relative, and yet they live in a society with very little violence, and they don't kill each other.
Well, they can become aggressive, but then they do things to quell the aggression.
Yes, so bonobo violence is very different to chimpanzee and human violence. So in bonobos, violence is used very much to maintain the peace, whereas in chimpanzees and humans, violence, especially towards females, is about maintaining dominance and asserting control.
So they're less hierarchical?
No, not at all. But the females are in charge, and that makes everything, I would say, a little bit more smooth running. And so just as an example, I saw the alpha female, Mimi, just get backhanded by Tatanga, who is, one of the high-ranking males. And she took it like a champ. And this is very common behavior in chimpanzees, but not acceptable at all in bonobos. And so she looked at him after he hit her, and within a split second, five unrelated females came screaming in, and they chased him all the way around the building and into the forest. And when he continued this aggressive behavior towards females, they almost ripped off his testicles.
Really?
So yes, this is in bonobos. Violence is just about maintaining peace.
But usually, as I understand it, the rulers Franz of all described as make love not war. Whenever bonobos get aggressive, somebody suggests that they make love instead, and that calms things.
Sex and play are a really big part of bonobo society. So whenever there seems to be any tension, then that's their first choice. But if that doesn't work, then they're prepared to back it up.
The title of your book is Bonobo Handshake. What's a bonobo handshake?
I cannot really say this on radio. So it's really
funny. You can say it as long as you don't use certain words.
Okay, all right. So I'll stick to the anatomical. A bonobo handshake basically is when two female bonobos rub their clitorises together until, well, they look like they orgasm to me. And this seems
That's a nice way of saying hello.
Yes. So to bonobos, I think people get really distracted by the sex in bonobos because there's a lot of it. But to bonobos, it's not really erotic at all. It's just kind of like, you know, it's like a handshake. It's like a hi.
Well, do they recognize that you're something, you're not the same species?
Would yes.
they have offered it to you?
Yes, yes. But a bonobo handshake is general. I'm actually quite flattered. I was shocked when it started, but now I see it as just a sign of acceptance. They're just like, hi, how are you? Touch my clitoris, touch my penis. I'm like, sure.
Do they have a special affinity to women, to human women?
Yes. So that was the trouble when so in bonobo handshake, when I first went to the Congo with my husband, he was supposed to be running all the experiments, but they're very wary of men, which is something that chimpanzees have no problem with. They don't really make a distinction. But bonobos, they have this affinity to females. And so I ended up doing everything.
Where do they live?
They only live, and see, this is the part of the problem with bonobos, they only live in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has seen a brutal international war, which I know you've talked about on your show.
Mm-hmm. And are they in an area where there's been a lot of fighting?
The bonobos, right now, they're quite safe. So the Congo Basin is three times the size of France, and there's no roads, and so the fighting is mostly in the east, and where the bonobos are right now, they're quite protected. They're occasionally hunted for meat, which is their biggest threat.
When Jane Goodall originally went out to study the chimps, it took a while for her to gain their trust. She traveled them, but she followed them for months, if I remember correctly. Was it the same with the bonobos?
Well, we work in a sanctuary. So we work in an orphanage called Loleya Bonobo. And so these are orphans of the bushmeat trade. And we interact with them. We kind of play fun problem-solving games to find out how they think. So no, not at all. We can go in with them. They recognize us. They hug us. Like, you know, it took about 30 seconds.
And that sanctuary was the former retreat of Mobutu Sese Seko.
Yes, the notorious Congolese dictator who stole something like $4 billion before he died. He used to go to this sanctuary on the weekends. It was his weekend escape from the heat and dust of Kinshasa.
Did you talk much to the local people about what had happened with him and then the war? And you were there before the first democratic elections
yes.
in a long, long time.
I was just so shocked that I'd never heard of the Congo War. It's not very well reported in our media, even though America and Europe and Australia were just crucial in keeping this war fueled and funded. So I spoke to everyone I could over there about, you know, what they'd been through and what they'd suffered. And it's just the Congolese are an extraordinary people. Just to go something like that through a war like that when the death toll is now something like 5.4 million and come out the other side and not be completely broken, and they have an incredible spirit.
But despite the fact that it's now a bit more democratic, you point out that it's necessary to pay bribes to do practically anything.
Yes. Well, this is not unique to Congo. I find this pretty much when I'm traveling throughout Africa. I mean, a policeman gets $7 a month in some areas. So
this is automatically understood.
Corruption is kind of the sub-economy of Congo.
Were the bonobos affected by the war?
Very much, very much so. There no researchers could get in to study them. And I think the long-term Japanese field site, Wamba, they had several bonobos there who were killed.
And you talk about many bonobos who were orphaned. They were even tortured?
So because,
why were they tortured?
Well, because bonobos look so similar to humans. I mean, I think even more so than chimpanzees because, you know, they're more slender, the females have more pronounced breasts, they have pink lips. And so the Congolese witches or sorcerers, they use parts of bonobos in black magic. And so sometimes these orphans arrive at the sanctuary with their fingers cut off, bits of their genitals missing, and you know, they're terribly, terribly traumatized.
You'd think that they'd be more mistrustful of humans.
And that's the thing that I, you know, in the same way I admire that about the Congolese, I admire that about bonobos, their ability to get their spirit back. It's something incredibly human.
You describe a particular experiment to see if bonobos can cooperate with each other, but the problem was that you could hardly get them to cooperate with the experiment. And chimps always seem to be willing to cooperate with the experiment.
And actually what we found was, in the end, if we could get them to stop having sex and playing around during the experiment, bonobos ended up being better cooperators than chimpanzees because they weren't constrained by tolerance. So chimpanzee cooperation, and in some cases human cooperation, we're very cognitive about it. We know we need to do it and how it works, but sometimes our emotions get in the way. You remember that South Carolina Senator, Congressman Joe Wilson, and Obama was having this, you know, addressing the state of the nation, and Joe Wilson just got so emotional and he just yelled out, "You lie." That was a classic chimpanzee moment, just where, you know, he couldn't control his emotions and, you know, negate that in order to cooperate. And bonobos are just exceptional cooperators, and, you know, they're not constrained by tolerance at all.
So that's why people said, "Stop monkeying around," when Joe Wilson said that.
Did they say that? They should have said, "Stop chimpanzeeing around. Be more bonobo."
As we pointed out, bonobos share about 98.7% of our DNA, but there is that 1.3%.
Yes.
And that is a major difference.
And that is why it's so excitement that the bonobo genome is coming out in a couple of months. So at the moment, yes. So we have the chimpanzee genome and the human genome, which differ by hundreds of thousands of nucleotides, even though we're so close. But when the bonobo genome comes out, that only differs from the chimpanzee genome by a couple of thousand. So if we compare bonobo to the chimpanzee genome, then we can look at human genome and find out really these exciting differences and what groups of genes might be responsible for certain behaviors.
As of now, we don't know whether chimps or bonobos are closer to humans.
They're about equal.
At one point, you described the bonobos as having human eyes. I'm wondering what you mean by that.
So bonobos, occasionally they can have the white sclera around their eyes, which makes them look incredibly soulful. So it's the same with chimpanzees, and I know Jane Goodall talks about this, but when you're looking into the eyes of bonobos, it's not like a tiger or a shark. Because we're so closely related, you can immediately recognize parts of yourselves in these extraordinary animals.
And you feel that they know things that...
That's probably a little human. Bit anthropomorphic, but yeah. But
we look into dogs' eyes and sometimes
think... Oh, yes, the dogs, I know. I think my dog understands me, but, you know, everybody thinks their dog can do calculus. So bonobos, they're just very different, and we're finding things about bonobos that we never thought we'd find in any other animal besides humans.
Well, why did we know so little about them until recently?
I think the sex was a big problem. Nobody really wanted to talk about that, and they are a little outrageous, but really sex is not the issue with bonobos. The point is that bonobos have a mechanism to maintain peace in their group, to stop violence against their females and to, you know, protect their infants. And, you know, as humans, we're such an intelligent species. We just had that, you know, supersonic jet that hit Mach 6. So why can we not find a way to live in a world without violence? And this is what bonobos can teach us.
But bonobos have to learn to live in a world without violence. You describe one bonobo named Lomami, who lost all the fingers on one hand because witch doctors in Congo use bonobo body parts for spells.
Yes, this is violence against bonobos by people. I think what I mean is that violence from your own species. So when I wake up in the morning, I know that somebody might kill me. There's 15 to 20,000 murders in America every year where it's illegal. When a chimpanzee wakes up in the morning, it's the same thing. And if you're a male chimpanzee, you've got more chance of being killed by another male than anything else. But bonobos, they don't have that. And I think we need to find out why.
You were studying them in a specific situation. We often learn that animals act differently in the wild than they do in a zoo, and I'd imagine different, again, in a compound. Is there anybody out there studying them in the wild?
Yes. The Japanese study them in the wild. They've had the longest-running research site. There's several American researchers that are studying the wild, some researchers from Germany, Gottfried Hohmann, but nowhere near the amount of people that have been studying chimpanzees.
A listener writes, I'm wondering if we would understand ourselves as humans in evolution differently if we had extensively studied bonobos before we studied chimpanzees.
I'm not sure. I think you need both. You need both bonobos and chimpanzees. And
are we the missing link between the two?
Yes, I think we – I just – bonobos have a lot to tell us in addition to chimpanzees. So you need the two species to understand the full picture.
Vanessa Woods is a research scientist, a journalist, and an author, a member of the Hominoid Psychology Research Group. She now works at Duke University, as well as Lola Ya Bonobo in Congo. She's written a book called Bonobo Handshake, and it is published by Gotham Books. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having bonobos on your show again.
Thanks for listening to WNYC On Demand. Please check out the other programs at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This is a free service made available by our listeners. Become a member of WNYC today.